Today's episode of The Wretched Hive is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/hive. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Welcome to The Wretched Hive Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Moss Eisley Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
I like the sound of that.
Well, guys, we're down to about a month, 35 days until Rogue One hits the theaters. And we have a ton of Rogue One news this week on the Wretched Hive Podcast, episode 23 for Friday, November 11th, 2016. And we got a full show, lots of Rogue One news hitting the airwaves in the last couple of weeks. And we've got the whole gang with me tonight, so I'm thrilled to introduce them to you first off, as tradition holds. Well, if I was a snowspeeder pilot, this guy would want this guy as my gunner. No doubt about it.
Dirty.
Greg Lent.
Dude, I will be the Dak who does not die in your snowspeeder, son. Just hook me up in that back seat, and I am whipping bitches.
I didn't know where you were going with that, Greg. I thought you were going to pull a Top Gun reference in there.
Yeah. I always knew Greg liked being in the back.
We'll just leave that alone and introduce lifelong Star Wars fan Scotty Vansky.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. I am here. I'm happy. I'm amped. I'm almost drunk, but I feel good.
Excellent. Well, we got a lot of show ahead of us, so you got time. Keep going, buddy. Yep. Keep going. Also joining us, we have the captain of the Millennial Falcon, Nico Rodriguez.
I'm here. I'm here and ready to record. Hopefully no technical difficulties this week. A full and complete show.
I don't want to jinx it, but so far so good with the Skype.
Right?
Skype is behaving.
Shush! Zip it!
And finally, we have Dave! Under no circumstances will you ever call him Harry Potter.
Greetings and salutations, people of the planet Earth.
Greetings and salutations to you. It's great to see you as well. Hope you guys have had a couple of good weeks. Been a lot of stuff going on in the Star Wars world, and we are going to cover quite a bit of it tonight. And if you haven't been following us on Facebook, we have been posting stuff on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/wretchedhivepodcast. You can also leave us a voicemail. And that Wretched Hive hotline is 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. And guys, we're going a little bit out of order tonight. We're going to jump right into it. We've got so much Rogue One stuff to cover that we are going to jump right in.
Call the affiliates out of order. This is unacceptable, Steve.
Yep, we're stealing a page from K-Rock or whatever show that is that they do out of order. Let's talk about some Rogue One.
For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic.
Grounded, like a lot of subject views of what it's like to be really in a war in the Star Wars universe.
Attacking that battle station ain't my idea of courage. It's more like suicide.
A rogue band of resistance fighters unite for a daring mission to steal the Death Star plans and bring new hope to the galaxy.
Rogue One Reconnaissance.
Rogue One Reconnaissance.
For those of you that don't live in Los Angeles or not familiar, sorry about the K-Rock reference there. K-Rock is a local radio station, and I think they started a show, I want to say, probably 2 decades ago called Out of Order, where they run down the top 20 songs, and they don't play them in order until they get to number one. And I think it's syndicated now. Isn't that nationally syndicated?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, it's been syndicated for a long time.
Started on K-Rock, though. Am I right about that?
Yeah. Yeah, and Stryker is the host, yeah. Yeah.
Stryker. That's right.
Ted Stryker?
Surely you can't be
Colonel?
Serious.
Hey, don't call me Shirley.
Well, guys, first up, big Rogue One news. Quite a few leaks and spoilers here this week. So if you don't want to be spoiled with Rogue One 35 days away, I would just stop listening and, I don't know, turn on Stuff You Should Know or whatever other podcast you listen to. But
hey, I was actually listening to that earlier tonight.
It's a great show.
It's a good show.
Really, I love
it.
Those really guys. Really, those guys are great. So there's an article on Inquisitor.com talking about characters in Rogue One, and big news revealed. Actually, kind of a rumor, but I thought we'd call it news because I think this is going to happen. Some say Princess Leia herself will be seen at the end of Rogue One, and I love that idea, and I'm curious to know what you guys think about it. But before you do, this is going to feed right in to our Star Wars choices for this week. A couple of weeks ago, Greg left a voice message for us and thinking what? He was not going to be on the show, and it happened to involve this very topic. So I'm going to play Greg's voice message right now, and this is our Star Wars choices.
Before you hit play,
yes.
I just need to say, celebrity voice, not impersonated.
This is not Harrison Ford doing Greg Lent?
Correct.
All right, here we go.
What kind of show are we...
I think you were like a precognitive here, Greg, or I don't know, or you read a lot of Star Wars blogs. So here we go. This is from Greg from a couple weeks ago. And this actually, you know what I'm going to do first, guys? I am going to go ahead, just to make it official. Let's do this.
It's a little game we like to call Star Wars Choices.
Think of a hard choice you'll face in
Dance Parties!
Choose.
Okay, would you rather be intimate with a Wookiee?
Choose wisely.
Or be intimate with Princess Leia in the gold bikini, but it's the modern day Carrie Fisher?
I just assumed it's a Wookiee.
Why do I have to choose?
It's Star Wars Choices! Princess Leia edition on the Wretched Hive podcast. So let's get right to Greg's Star Wars choices. Precognitive Greg from a few weeks ago. Here we go.
Since Rogue One takes place 5 minutes before the beginning of episode 4, would you rather have a CGI version of Carrie Fisher a la, say, a Jeff Bridges in Tron, where they CGI them all up and have a CGI version of Carrie Fisher appear as Princess Leia in Rogue One, or would you rather have another actress recast in that role, a la Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian and Alden in the Han Solo movie? Please discuss. I look forward to your responses. I will hang up and listen. Have a pleasant day.
I think Alden Aglan and Plagius are hanging out somewhere together right now.
So that's oh that. God, I just that was bad. That was the best.
I just I love.
He's Dutch. That's how you pronounce that name.
I'm Dutch.
Oh, go ahead and pick on the Dutch. Why don't you? Well, I just love that you left that message, and I kept it. Not meaning to, but then I saw this story about Princess Leia at the end of Rogue One, and it just fit perfectly. So, would you rather have a CGI Princess Leia, or have that role recast and appear at the episode at the end of episode, or sorry, at the end of Rogue One? And I'm gonna start. I'm gonna go out of order here. We're gonna lead off with Nico. Nico, what do you think? You want a CGI Leia, yeah, or do you want the you want that role recast?
Well, can I give you my prediction for what I think they're going to do?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Well, what I'm hoping is that we see a character in the distance in a white gown leaning over into an R2 unit in a corridor.
Mm.
and then it zooms in. Sounding.
Yeah, where's the steamy music in the background?
We don't see the face of said character, but the screen ends off with perfectly round buns.
Nice.
On the side of her head.
I know you're being facetious a little bit, but I had the same thought. Wouldn't it be cool if you saw that scene from a distance, like from one of the rebel, fighters defending the Tandy Four? That would be really cool to have him turn from his point of view and see that happening in the far distance.
And just see Leia lean over.
Yeah.
And stick the plans right into R2.
Wow.
This is getting so dirty.
I'm very uncomfortable right now.
But would I rather see a CG version or a recast version? I'm going to go ahead and say that they better do the world's best CG ever, because the recast of Lando, they're recasting Lando and Han, but they're younger versions. So they're not going to look like they look in A New Hope because they're younger than that. So I can see how they can get away with that. But recasting Carrie Fisher, unless they do like a Mon Mothma-like recast that's godly accurate, they better spend half the budget on the movie making the world's best CG version of Carrie Fisher, because I don't want some bullshit recast of somebody that almost looks like her.
All right, so I'm hearing your vote for CGI then.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Scott, what say you, my friend?
Ah, fuck you, Dave.
As much.
So much for visual cues on the podcast.
You know what's so funny? I often miss these because I'm so focused on what I'm doing with my computer and the notes that I often miss what you guys do on camera, and I need to pay more attention.
I don't think anybody but me saw that, because Greg's looking down, texting his boyfriend, and Scott was in the other room.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Scott was in the other room getting the text from Greg.
I was getting
the text. Hold on a second. Reading a text from his boyfriend.
Give me 1 second here. Thank you, sweetie. Get that back. That's actually a really good question.
CGI or recast?
I like the idea of a CGI character if it's done right and done just subtle enough, like a little bit. I don't need a whole bunch. But, you know, I'd be curious to see if they could find somebody to actually replace her. Nico makes a great point, though, and I'd like to agree with him on this. It's tough because the Han Solo and the Lando characters will be younger versions of themselves. Leia's going to be that same person, that exact same iconic image of her in the white dress on that ship. Most likely. You know what? I think I'm going to go with CG. I'm gonna side with Nico on this.
All right. Alrighty. Greg, your question. You've had lots of time to think about your answer. What do you think? You want CGI Leia, or do you want it recast with a different actress?
You know, I haven't looked at the story that you put up here, so I don't know when it went up. But I swear to God, it was just something that came to me. I was just thinking about the movie and thinking about, you know, and because I was thinking about it right when Donald Glover was announced as being in the Han Solo movie. And I was also thinking about Rogue One and them tying them together and everything. So it was honestly just it just happened that you bring up the story, and I think that's really cool. But for me, I would go with the recasting, and I'll tell you why. While I like, it would be nice to have her in Rogue One just as a bit of continuity. And I brought up the Tron example because in the voice book, because this is exactly what I was thinking of. The Jeff Bridges in that movie just looked just a tiny bit creepy. I think they call that the Uncanny Valley is what they call that, and it was just a tiny bit creepy. So for me personally, I would need to switch it to a new character, a new casting. And also, if you had current day Carrie Fisher, her voice has dropped about 4 octaves. So she would be talking like this as she's talking to all of the people on the Tantive IV. And that would kind of take me out of it too.
Get this walking carpet out of my way.
So it's either, if she wants to be Batman, she can be Batman, but I'd rather have a new character or new actor come up as a new Princess Leia.
All right. Okay.
What if they chopped the sound bit from New Hope and you, like, the only line that she had was, "Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope." Hmm. And they used the original voice recording of it so she wouldn't have to say anything.
And they just dubbed it over.
And then just dubbed over the old line from the old movie, digitally remastered for the 12th time.
Special edition.
George Lucas is working on that as we speak.
That's a really good idea.
No! I need a bib for my tuna.
So we got two CGI. We got one vote for recasting. Dave, what do you think?
Yes, I would say CGI, and I have a thought that occurred to me while we're talking about this on how we can do it without having it to be budget busting perfect CGI. You have the Carrie Fisher in air quotes appear in hologram communication form, like the hologram that R2-D2 would project to talk to these rebels who are beaming the transmission up to her. That's her appearance. It doesn't have to be stellar or perfect or spectacular. It can be fuzzy and blurry around the edges.
My
Bing,
only question,
bang, boom, done.
That's an even better question. Idea. Write that down.
Wait, yeah, can
you
I?
You should write
I,
that down.
Wait, can I debunk that? Can I debunk that? Because why would the rebels
no, fuck
have
you, Nico.
That? No, fuck
you.
R2 recorded that, and then he left. Why would the rebels have that?
No, I'm just saying that's a holographic projection technology that was clearly around at the time. It doesn't have to be, you know, super crystal clear, wonderful, you know, VR quality.
Yeah, R2 wasn't the only thing in the universe that had the capability to make those holograms.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's what Nico's saying, though. I don't think they're the same exact recording. Is that what you're saying? Or a different something else? Like she's communicating with somebody, let's say, in charge of the plans or something.
If they're trying to coordinate the handoff, I suppose.
Yeah. So instead of recreating that moment and having the exact same dialogue, which I see your point on that, but you could actually make it a hologram and use other dialogue.
But then that means that we're only going to see her in this hologram communication, and then when they do the handoff, she won't be there?
There's no actual physical handoff. These are transmissions. I think I'm 90% positive in A New Hope. Darth Vader references that there are transmissions that were received by her ship.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah,
but she's also seen loading something into R2. It looks like a floppy disk kind of thing.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, they probably downloaded it onto a floppy disk once they received the transmission.
You would think they would have used USBs.
Wouldn't you? But I guess Lucas couldn't think of everything.
She put it on a laser disc. Open R2's.
It's on Betamax.
I think they use USB 3, so you have to buy a new R2 every 4 years just to use the thing.
God damn it.
Well, and I'm sure the headphone jack doesn't work anymore either.
No, there's not.
I don't even have an head jack.
My vote is for recasting. So we got 3 CGI, 2 recast. And while I do like your idea, Dave, I think that is a great idea that you could have. Some audio from the original movie over a CGI video. I really like that. You could even do new audio and have it kind of garbled and messed up. I like the idea of sort of rebooting the cast with the younger cast members. I like the Donald Gleason hire. I like Alden Ehrenreich. I like all of that. I think that's good, and I would like to see a new actress given a shot for that.
Right. Yeah. You understand she's not going to be in the gold bikini in this appearance, right,
oh,
Steve?
Oh, never mind. CGI. It's fine.
Okay. Well, CGI and sweeps.
CGI wins. And, you know, if she was CGI, she would not be the only CGI character in Rogue One. There's another story here that we've covered this in the past, but just wanted to remind you it was covered again in USAtoday.com. In this article called Sneak Peek, The Empire Strikes Back in Rogue One, Gareth Edwards basically gives up the fact that Tarkin is in this movie. And I'm going to read the quote. He says, quote, "It feels like if the Empire ever has a job vacancy, they go to the Royal Shakespeare Company to headhunt people," Edwards says. "I like the idea that Ben's," meaning Ben Mendelsohn, character was much more working class and rose in the ranks through sheer force of personality and ideas. That said, the director adds, Krennic hits a brick wall in the hierarchy where they won't let him into the club, and it's going to turn into them or us situation, either Krennic or Tarkin and the others. So he references Tarkin directly in this article, and a lot of people online saying, oh, that's proof! Tarkin's in this movie! What do you think? Are we going to see a CGI Tarkin? Is that legit or what?
That's legit.
Yeah, I think so. It's been talked about and rumored for a while that Tarkin was going to make an appearance. How that was going to happen, I'm not sure, but this is a clear sign that there are a good chance anyway that Tarkin's going to make some sort of an appearance. Even if it's just a reference, I still think that they could do some magical work here. We're talking about Disney and Lucas. Oh, my God. This is going to be great.
Do you think then if they're going to CGI Tarkin that they will just CGI Leia as well?
Mm-hmm.
I think it could happen. I think it could easily happen and not look creepy like Tron. Because Tron was what, 6 years ago?
Tron. Wait, are you original Tron or that Tron 2.0?
The legacy one.
Okay.
The one with Daft Punk.
Yeah, because they had old Jeff Bridges in there looking, you know, with the glowy jacket, the really cool glowy jacket. And then they had the young Jeff Bridges also, and they had CGI'd his face. He acted the part out, but they CGI'd his face so he looked like young Jeff Bridges.
Cool. Just making sure.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm talking about there.
I have a question, though. Can I bring a question to the table for all of you to ponder and perhaps answer?
Sure.
No. Next.
If... Go text your boyfriend, Gregory. If Leia is in Rogue One, does she have an English accent?
Ooh. Does she kind of go?
Because she starts New Hope with it.
It's got to come in and out, right? That's what
she did. She is like a Kevin Costner forerunner in that movie. You are. That's a good call.
And will Tarkin be wearing fuzzy slippers?
Fuzzy bunny slippers.
See, listeners, these are the important questions to be asking about these movies, and that's why you come to the Wretched Hive.
He could be wearing Jackson bunny slippers.
Damn, dude, you're throwing it back old school.
Are they pink fuzzy bunny snippers with a little like Empire emblem on the side, like standard issue Empire buzzy?
they're green.
It's more of a green.
Green fuzzy. Okay.
All right. Gotcha. All right, so we are going to see CGI Tarkin, and we think probably CGI Leia. Is that the official position of the Wretched Hive?
Okay. Begrudgingly, yes, I think that's how we're going to go. I would rather see them recast the role for reasons previously stated.
Yes.
And English accents all around.
Right.
But of course.
So the other question that people are asking about Rogue One, another critical Star Wars element of every Star Wars film thus far, has been the opening crawl. You always have that iconic opening crawl in the beginning of the film to sort of set the stage for what's going to happen in the film. In fact, Rogue One is based on the opening crawl from Episode 4, talking about that someone's stolen the Death Star plans. And so no opening crawl possibly in Rogue One, being reported by StarWarsNewsNet.com. They have a quote from Kathleen Kennedy here. Actually, they're quoting an E.T. article from last July. It's been a while. But she says, you know, we're in the middle of talking about it, but I don't think these films will have an opening crawl, meaning the standalone films, Kennedy said, of the possibility that Rogue One would include the familiar Star Wars trope. I think that's what we kind of telegraphed at the beginning of the event today. And then Gareth Edwards goes on to say, I think basically there's a lot of things I probably can't talk about. It's probably the safe way to answer this question, he joked. The idea is this film is supposed to be different than the saga films, the whole crawl and all of it. It's funny people are so fascinated on that. So I'm curious to know what you guys think. Will there be an opening crawl in Rogue One?
Hold on a second. Let me pull up Episode 2 of The Wretched Hive to see what I said when we talked about it then.
Is that right? Have we already talked about this?
Yeah, I think you were with me on No Crawl.
Yeah.
I think we were united on that one.
That was my gut feeling.
Yeah, I don't remember what I said. I think I might have sided with seeing it on there just for continuity's sake. But I think personally it makes a lot of sense not to have it in these new films, in these saga films, just to separate them from the idea of the saga itself. I'm seeing that more so now. So if I did say it originally, I'm going to backtrack. You can call me a flip-flopper. I don't give a hell. You give a crap what you say, but that's what I think. I think, yeah, no crawl.
Flip-flopper.
Flip-flopper.
All right. I can't. Flip-floppity.
Well, we've been doing the show long enough that I forgot what we talked about in the early episodes. I apologize about that. But Greg, go ahead. What were you going to say, my friend?
I was on Team Crawl. I liked having the continuity in the Star Wars movies of the Crawl in there. It's like going to a Marvel movie and not getting a post credit teaser. You know, that's what I want to see. So, that's how I wanted it, but it looks like I'm not going to get my wish, and I'm just going to have to stomp my feet pat about it. So,
I feel like Rogue One is the opening crawl for A New Hope, though. Like, why would the opening crawl get an opening crawl?
Mm. Why not? Of course, let's just make it all crawl. 2 hours and 13 minutes of crawling.
Oh, that's what I want. The script in the
crawl. Just, it's Star Wars, a text all right. story.
All right, so no crawl, but does it get the opening title card a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away?
It has to.
Yeah.
It has to.
Because that's the universe. That's where it happened. That's when it happened. Was it a long time ago in a star galaxy far, far away?
I like Greg's thought process on that, but I will say this. That could be the Marvel thing that you're kind of discussing. Or the Marvel logo with the flipping comic book idea. That could be your Star Wars logo connection right there. I do see what you're saying about the crawl, but yeah, I don't know. Separating it a little bit. I want to see it. I want to see it, but I don't know, separating it a little bit. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Maybe we get the announcer from Star Wars Clone Wars animated series.
No.
Giving us the intro.
No, under no circumstances.
Last time on Star Wars Clone Wars.
Episode 2 of the Wretched Hive Podcast. Steve repeats the same damn story. Go ahead, sorry.
Why didn't they on episodes 1, 2, and 3 then say a really, really, really long time ago?
An even longer time ago.
Ridiculous.
And 7, 8, and 9, there's not quite as long ago as the previous movies that you had seen before, even though they came out longer ago.
Even less long ago in a galaxy not quite so far away.
About 2 hours and 10 minutes before a long time ago from the first movie.
Previously on Star Wars.
I still have to produce produce that for next episode.
Well, there is one thing, speaking of producing things for next episode. Yeah. We're 35 days away from Rogue One in theaters, which is very exciting. But we are also 36 days away from needing a bumper to talk about episode 8.
Yes.
On the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Next
question. Do we get an episode 8 trailer attached to Rogue One?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Not at all.
Disney fucking hates us. Why would we get one a year out?
Well, I think the business consideration that, because this is the conversation we had about Rogue One, and I suspect Disney will follow the same path. They didn't want marketing for Rogue One to interfere with The Force Awakens while it was in theaters. They really held off on revealing anything substantial about it until after it was done with a theatrical run.
It, if you remember, because we commented on it at the time, it was within a week of the DVD release that they put out the first trailer of Rogue One.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So they put that baby to bed, and then boom, Rogue One trailer. But in defense of that argument, though, in defense of my argument, if I should say, they put out and there was no competing product out there, a quote-unquote competing product, but they put out the Episode 7 trailer – over a year ahead of time. It was Thanksgiving when that trailer came out, and the movie came out the following Christmas.
You are correct, sir. So this could be a great marketing tool to get you amped up for episode 8.
Well, we already.
I think all that we're going to get is an IIX and the fanfare.
Yeah.
See,
that's all we're going to get with the black screen.
I honestly think it's more likely there will be a little episode 8 teaser on the episode 7 3D Blu-ray that's coming out next week.
Damn it.
I thought it already came out. Didn't it already come out? It came out last week, didn't it?
November 15th.
Oh, it's the 15th?
Yes, sir.
Because I've been seeing all kinds of reviews about the commentaries and everything like that. Maybe it's just people with the pre-release bullshit that's out there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, that bullshit.
Disney didn't get back to us on getting our pre-releases. What the hell, guys?
Yeah.
Come on.
Why are we not on the comp list anymore? I mean, ever.
God damn it.
Steve, what's going on with that, man?
I'll work on that. Sorry. Been a little busy. I think
get our people going.
I'll call my friend Bob, my source at Disney.
Bob, just regular Joe.
So just he's a regular Bob. He's not a regular Joe.
Yeah, he's fucking Bob.
Okay.
I think we're going to get an episode 8 trailer at Star Wars Celebration, which is in April. I think we get the first trailer, full-blown trailer one, right around April 13th, which is the first day of Star Wars Celebration 2017.
Okay, that's a good point. I like your wording on that trailer. I think you're right. A full trailer will come around that time. But I think we're going to get some sort of a teaser. It would make sense to me. Marketing-wise, it's part of the trilogy. It's part of the saga. So I want to see a teaser in front of Rogue One.
Well, one thing they could do, I mean, if they wanted to do a little tease, announce the title of the movie just as the teaser. Episode 8, you know, Chaos at the Jedi Temple. Now the movie.
Episode 8, In My Pants.
Well, episode 1 through 7 is in my pants too, Craig, just so you know.
Didn't we already determine that about 30% of the audience for Rogue One is in
my pants?
You get around. You get around. No, that they are going to think that they're going to see episode 8. They're going to be like, you know, where's Kylo Ren?
Yeah, it's stupid millennials.
I'm glad a millennial said that.
Kylo Ren is in Han Solo's pants, actually. So
there you go. You're seeing it. Kind of.
Wow. Well, we also had, guys, a couple of pieces of art that were released. Artwork for Rogue One. Star Wars Underworld has these. They're sort of like oriented like a banner. You've got one with the rebellion, the rebels running from right to left. You've got the other one with the stormtroopers walking through the water from left to right. Both really cool. Oriented sort of like a Facebook-sized banner sort of sheet. And those look great. We also had some commercials. Have you guys seen these commercials? There's a Nissan Rogue commercial that's obviously for Rogue One. But the car is the Nissan Rogue, and that's a lot of fun. It's this like driving simulation with this this woman driving the car, and she's driving in and out of AT-ATs, and you know, battles going on around her. Ships are flying around. It's pretty cool. Like that a lot.
Star Tours. What are you doing here?
Exactly. Exactly. And then there was a really kind of a cool Gillette spot. I don't know if you saw that one, but features one of the rebels walking up and raising his gun, aiming it towards some stormtroopers, and then sort of flashes back to him getting ready for battle. Doesn't show him shaving, but it sort of suggests that he might have shaven that day. But there's a lot of new footage in these. Either that or they you know, I don't know if they're lifting footage from the movie, but it looks exactly like the movie set. For that,
I mean,
Gillette
everybody
spot.
In the Star Wars galaxy doesn't shave with laser razors.
That's true.
Tiny, tiny little lightsabers.
But it's been really fun to see these commercials out, and I still, I'm such a geek for this stuff, watching whatever show, or I hear Lisa watching it in the other room, and I hear the Star Wars music when I run in, and you know, you got to watch the commercial. Rewind that. That's pretty cool.
I got to say, and I'm not going to try and put a damper on this at all, but the banners you mentioned, Steve, have a very slight similarity to the Attack of the Clone marketing promo material, where they showed many of the characters or troops lined up in a banner form. So sorry about that, guys.
No, I think that's a good observation. Were those what were those used for? Were they like billboards, or what do you remember those being used for?
Yeah, I think it was billboards and internet marketing. So banners across the top of certain web pages, you would see a nice slimline banner going from one side of the screen to the next, and it had a main character usually centered, and then a bunch of the background characters, Jedi or clone troopers, I think were the other characters used at that time. I'd have to find them and dig them up and post them on our Facebook page. But it just has kind of a similar feel to it.
You know, I kind of got that same feeling too, and I have to go back and look this up, but I remember reading at one point that Lucas, especially for like episode two, I guess blocked or staged the screens for filming, so the good guys and the bad guys were consistently coming in from either the right side or the left side, you know, opposing sides, to keep it clear who was who. And they still stick with the tried and true. The good guys have red laser blasts out of their spaceships, and the bad guys have green laser blasts coming out of their spaceships. So whenever you watch the lasers, they're always a specific color depending on whether they're good guys or bad guys.
Right.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I found a few of them real quick online. Some of the main characters for the villains, you had Jango Fett, Darth Tyrannus, and Zam Wessel with a bunch of what looks like clone troopers behind them in a panoramic banner format. Mm. And in the good guys, you have Yoda with a bunch of Jedi holding their lightsabers up. And then some of the other characters they swap in and out is Padme, Anakin, Mace Windu, and Obi-Wan. Mm. I'll have to post a bunch of those. I mean, they're pretty cool looking, except, you know, we now know how the movie kind of panned out. But
yeah.
It was the best movie ever.
Best movie ever.
Was. Should have won, at least for the dialogue. Mm. That sand monologue. Oh. Gets me every time.
It's the best. Well, guys, let's pause here and give a nod to our sponsor, Audible.com. For you, listeners of the Wretched Hive podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. There's over 250 Star Wars titles available, including this one that I selected from the wide selection there at audible.com. This is Outcast, Star Wars Legends from Fate of the Jedi, written by Aaron Alston and narrated by Mark Thompson. I noticed a lot of the books, Mark Thompson has done a lot of work with these Star Wars books, and he does a really outstanding job. So let's play about 30 seconds here. This is Outcast, Star Wars Legends from Fate of the Jedi.
Time to go to work. You won't let me get killed, will you?
Jaina let her eyes widen.
Is that what I was supposed to be doing here?
She asked in droll tones.
I should have brought my lightsaber.
The Bothan offered a long-suffering sigh and turned toward the exit. They descended the shuttle's boarding ramp, with no duties required of her other than to keep alert and to be the jet.
There you go. Sorry, I cut it off a little awkwardly there, but that's a fun one, and if you want to download that book, you certainly can. You can get it free today, actually, if you go to audibletrial.com/hive. It's our gift to you. audibletrial.com/hive for your free audio book. So go check it out.
So while we're talking about books, I want to just today... And again, we record the show the Wednesday prior to the posting on Friday. But just today on the website io9, which is one of my favorites, there was a review of an old Star Wars book, and the title of the article was
The Courtship of Princess Leia.
I would say blank really is the worst Star Wars book ever. Oh. Blank being the title of the book there. It is not The Courtship of Princess Leia. So,
do we have to guess?
Yeah, for my extended universe fans here, the two of you that are in the room, what would be your guess for the second worst book?
The second, so it's the top two worst books.
Because they call out The Courtship as being a very bad book, but he says, for one thing, unlike The Courtship of Princess Leia, this book didn't ruin something fans were looking specifically forward to.
Wow.
So do you have any guesses? I won't make you go through it long, but do you have any guesses?
That's very specific, and I feel like I should know it, but nothing's coming to me.
Okay, I'm gonna go... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead, make a guess. I didn't let you guess, so I want you to do it.
I'm gonna say, I like this book, and I'm gonna pull up two titles real quick. I think they're either gonna pick Splinter of the Mind's Eye
as the worst.
No, see, not for me personally. I like that book, but okay. But who knows what their choice is or why they're picking it? But it's either that or Crystal Star.
You are correct, sir. Oh, I am God. So impressed. Crystal Star is the book.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and it goes into a big, long reason why, but basically they use – what they get into is that there's dog-like beings that are called werewolves, and it's spelled W-Y-R-W-U-L-V-E-S, and there are centaurs in the book, and they say it's really just really poorly written.
Awesome.
Wow. Mrs. Ivansky is so proud right now.
I just found
me on, I'm telling you.
The article io9.gizmodo.com, the 12 worst things in the Star Wars expanded universe. And the picture is a very very scary looking googly-eyed Ewok here. Non-blinking, I will add.
Wow. Of course. As it should be.
Hilarious. Yub yub.
Yub nub. I'm impressed, sir. That was a really good pull. Really good pull. Yeah, nice coming up one. With Crystal Star there. Excellent.
There's a reason why I don't read anymore.
And I will, you know, defend your love of Splinter of the Mind's Eye. Only because that's one of the very, very few books that I've read. And it is just it's so weird and so
absolutely.
Out of touch with the rest of the saga. You know, it was written before Empire was even conceived, and they didn't know where the story was going to go, and he just went with it, and it's so weird reading that book knowing the rest of the story that he didn't know at the time.
It is, and that's one of the reasons why I love it, and I just put it up there because I think a lot of people don't appreciate the fact that where it falls in the history of Star Wars at the time and everything. The weirdness of the story itself. What is it? It's they introduced the Kyber crystal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. One. Spoiler alert.
Oh, man.
Hey. Scott's good at that. We should know already.
Does that book also get into the romance a little bit between Luke and Leia?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
That's the creep factor.
It's incest porn. I'm not going to lie.
Yikes. Yeah, but it's good. I agree. I just, you know, who knows how other people perceive that book. So, there you go.
Well, crappily. All right.
Nice segue, Greg, because actually, next up on our agenda here tonight, we've got a book review from the one and only Dave. Do not call him under any circumstances Harry Potter. Star Wars
ever.
Sorry, I forgot the ever. Star Wars Legends Epic Collection, the original Marvel Years Volume 1. This looks amazing. And Dave, it's my understanding that you have a copy.
I have it in my hot little hands. And I just have to say, on the old nostalgia meter, on a scale of 1 to 10, this thing is a total 11 for me. Because this is reprinting the original Marvel Comics adaptation tie-ins, Star Wars comics from 77 going forward. And this was one of the first, I think, real successful licensing comic book tie-in that I think was ever done. And it's difficult to talk about this book or this compilation book without talking about kind of the significance of what these stories were and what they meant at the time. Lucasfilm had this movie that was coming out that the studio didn't believe and everybody thought was going to be crap, and they were desperately looking for ways to market it and get it to its audience. And one of the ideas they had was doing a comic book tie-in, but they were not a successful product. So none of the publishers that they went to DC Comics and they went to Whitman Comics, none of them wanted to touch it. So Marvel was their third choice, and they got turned down initially by Stan Lee and the president of Marvel at the time. They went to one of Marvel's biggest writers, house writers, Roy Thomas, who was a former editor-in-chief of Marvel at the time, and he was working on all the Conan adaptations, showed him all of the concept art that was done by Ralph McQuarrie, convinced Roy Thomas that, hey, there's something here. Thomas convinced Stan Lee and the president to do it. They worked out this weird deal where there were no royalty fees paid to Lucasfilm until the sales figures got over a certain point, which, of course, were shattered pretty much immediately. But the money that Marvel made off of these issues basically saved that company in the late 70s. All the executives at the time are on record as saying that they were in a bad publishing spot, and this was a huge windfall that was outselling their best-selling superhero title by 4-1 or 5-1. Star Wars saved Marvel in the 70s, and that's funny to think about how Lucasfilm and Marvel, two independent companies at that time, are now both owned by Disney as hugely successful subsidiaries of Disney. But this epic collection gives us the first basically 2 years of stories, which include the first non-Lucasfilm written stuff after their six-issue adaptation of the first movie ends. That predates Splinter in the Mind's Eye, Scott. So this is the first stuff. You get the fantastic fan-loathed character Jackson the Rabbit, who goes on a Seven Samurai adventure with Han Solo. And Lucas's dislike of that character is what led to Roy Thomas immediately exiting the series. But apparently, from an article I read about Roy Thomas, he was all excited about getting to write original Star Wars stories afterwards. He was like, okay, so I'm gonna write a story and I'm gonna use Darth Vader. And Lucas was like, no, you can't use Darth Vader. I've got some plans for him. It's like, well, okay, I can explore the relationship between Luke and Leia. Well, no. We don't wanna get too close to that. Not just yet, no. Well, okay, well, what if I do something with this throwaway line you have in here for the Clone Wars? That sounded interesting. Oh, you know, I might want to do something with that someday. So he goes off and does a Han Solo story and introduces Jackson the Rabbit, and Roy Thomas got a note back. You know, I'm not really fond of Jackson the Rabbit. And Roy Thomas said, you know what? I'm going to stick with the Conan adaptations because the guy who wrote Conan is dead and he doesn't give me story notes.
Nice.
But if you're That's a comic great. Fan, looking back at this stuff, this is a murderer's row of people who worked on it. This first volume includes Roy Thomas, Archie Goodwin, Howard Chaykin, and Chris Claremont as writers, and the artists include such people as Howard Chaykin, Carmine Infantino, Walter Simonson, Herb Trimp, Tom Palmer, and Dave Cockrum, to name but a few. And if you're a comics fan, that's a legit murderer's row of talent.
It's unbelievable.
Those are huge, huge names of comics, you know, creators in the late 70s, early 80s. The fact they had all those guys working on that book at one point or another is just really amazing. I didn't collect these books as a kid, but man, I picked them up whenever, because I didn't go to shops regularly when I was in my early teens, you know, after 10, early teens. But what I know, whenever I would go into a liquor store and see them on the shelf somewhere, I would plop down my 35 cents and get one. And they were so fun for a young kid to read.
And that's exactly why I say it's an 11 on the nostalgia meter for him, because at least for me, and you guys can jump in and tell me if your experience was different, but that that time after the first movie came out in the late 70s, I mean, I didn't have cable television. You know, there was no real HBO or anything like that. We didn't have a VCR. There wasn't a Blockbuster down the street. I mean, to see Star Wars, I pretty much had to wait for it to appear on network television, if it ever did that. Or I could read these comic books whenever I wanted to. These things were my original, you know, DVD or Laserdisc. And that was how I kept reliving the story over and over and over again. So I'm excited to have these in this big, beautiful, recolored paperback volume. These Marvel Epic collections that they do are just a fantastic, massive compilation of about 2 years worth of comics put together with the covers. They're recolored for modern technology. They've got little extras in the back. This one has a couple of letter columns from the original Star Wars issues back in the 70s, some columns written by Roy Thomas on the creation of it, extra covers and production art that you will not find anywhere else. It's just a gorgeous, gorgeous product. And if you I cannot, in all honesty, say buy it for the story, because this stuff is very pedestrian looking back on it. Mm. But if you like the fun and you like the history of it, this is an absolute must-have piece for your shelf.
Well, I absolutely loved your review of this. And I got to jump in on a few things, because you mentioned some great stuff in there, Dave. One, I'm actually curious to look at it. I do own all the original first printings of those comics, but I'm curious to see what the quality of the prints, the reproduction is. I'm also curious about all the extra material that you said in there. But the fact that you mentioned so many of those great names, and you mentioned Claremont, and you mentioned Simonson, and I am an X-Men fan like you wouldn't believe. And those two names just are synonymous with the X-Men history. And Simonson ended up penning, what was it, X-Force, is that? X-Factor.
Thor,
but he also went on to X-Force. The original X-Men formed another team, and that series took off. God, I keep saying X-Force. X-Factor.
Yep, yeah, X-Factor.
But Claremont and writing the stories for some of the most amazing stuff in X-Men. It's amazing that all these people were involved in that book. Yeah, I agree with you on the level of the storytelling in it. But it is fun, and it's a great throwback. I'll still break open the original copies and read one or two issues every now and then, and I love them. And I believe it went up to issue 107.
Yep. Marvel did 107. Yep. There were three annuals.
Yep.
And Return of the Jedi was adapted as a separate four-issue limited series. So they've probably got about 114 issues of material.
Yeah.
To reprint. And one thing that's interesting that I can't wait till I get to is this reprint volume is Star Wars 1 through 23, and it includes material from Pizzazz Magazine issues 1 through 16 and Star Wars Weekly UK number 60. And just to geek out for 30 seconds on what that is, Marvel published a color magazine, Pizzazz, that went on the magazine newsstands. It was a bunch of just mishmash of stuff, but one of the things that they had running in it was a little three-page an issue Star Wars serial.
Huh.
Pizzazz lasted 16 issues until it was canceled, because amazingly, I guess dudes didn't want to buy a magazine called Pizzazz. Huh. Shocker. And they ran the last chapter of that serial in a UK publication. So there, you do actually get its full color the whole way through until it gets to those last kind of 6 pages of segments. The Marvel UK magazine was black and white, and suddenly you jump to black and white, and you're just getting the Dave Cockrum art, just pencil line and inks, no colors.
Wow. That's
and it's gorgeous.
Unbelievably fascinating. I can't wait to get a copy of that. That's awesome.
So I'm looking at Amazon.com at the link. You can preview, I guess. You can look in. It's called Look Inside. You click on the link, Look Inside, and you can see maybe like the first 30, 40 pages of this thing.
That's awesome.
There's a lot of stuff you can see on online through Amazon.com. Looks really, really great. The artwork is amazing.
And that artwork that you're looking at on the first 40 pages, that's Howard Chaykin art. And it's amusing to me to see a guy who is, if you're a comic book fan, is so strongly identified with the independent comic movement to be working on a tie-in comic, basically.
Yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous.
I will have to throw one argument out there against it. I have to disagree with you on the loathing part. I get maybe originally Jackson was not a popular character, but I don't know. He's kind of maybe a throwback fan favorite now.
I mean, he's no Jar Jar Binks. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to go there with it, but
he's a green bunny, though. He's amazing.
They should put
Green
him in
Lives Matter.
Green. Green.
Man. They should put him in one of the movies. Jack should make an appearance.
I'm pretty sure J.J. Abrams has a Jackson the Rabbit skeleton somewhere on Jakku.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's copped that.
Yeah, I remember him talking about that. I thought they were going to do Jar Jar. They were going to put the skeleton of Jar Jar in the desert somewhere there and be done with it.
Just be done with it.
Done with it. But yeah, I remember him talking about Jax. Yeah.
So that's my review. Like I said, huge nostalgia book, or if you're just interested in comics history, because I will throw out, if Star Wars hadn't worked as a tie-in for Marvel, I really doubt that you would have seen a G.I. Joe comic, a Transformers comic, some of these great later comic stories that Marvel put out in the 80s all came about, in my opinion, because Star Wars made them a butt ton of money.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I'll tell you, I actually collected quite a bit of the G.I. Joe comics, and I think it was because of the Star Wars, the connection there. It's a tie-in from a series, and it was good. It was actually good stories.
You got to give Marvel some credit, because you go back and you look at the G.I. Joe, and there was a Micronauts book, and there was something else. They did not just throw these books out. ROM. They put heavy hitters on these books. I think John Byrne did some of the Indiana Jones books as well.
Yep.
They didn't skimp just because they had the license. They put some serious talent on these books. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I mean, Steve Ditko worked on ROM, if I remember correctly, the co-creator of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, Dave, you have your copy on Amazon. It's saying pre-order.
Yeah, so here's the fun thing about it. So if you buy things from a comic specialty shop, they will always get these kind of trade paperback graphic novel compilations before you will see them in a bookstore or on Amazon. So I bought mine in a comic store 2 weeks ago, but it's not going to be available to, a Barnes & Noble customer or an Amazon customer until Tuesday, November 15th.
Wow.
Cool.
Do you want to plug your comic shop there? Do you want to give them a plug, or do you care?
Yeah, absolutely. No, Comics Factory in Pasadena, California. I've been shopping there for 15 years. They sell all new issues at cover price, and they sell all back issues at cover price. They do not believe in the collectible market.
All back issues?
All back issues. They don't sell the old stuff, the truly collectible stuff.
I was going to say, I can go over there and get an Action Number 1 for 10 cents. Sign me up.
No. No, that you can't do. But they've been in business for about 20 years, and they get stuff in, and they sell it at cover price. They're not looking to make an extra buck on it. So that's their philosophy.
I'm glad you gave me that disclaimer, because I was out the door right now.
Pasadena. I got to go.
No, they've got a fantastic selection of trades and hardcovers, a pretty excellent selection of collectible busts and things like that. Very friendly and professional staff too.
Awesome.
That's really cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
Support your local comic book store. Yeah.
Comics Factory on Colorado Boulevard on the Rose Parade route.
I might have to throw a shout out to my local one next time on the next episode. I give them a little bit of props too, because I still go there, and they've been around for a long time as well. So that'll be on the next show.
All right.
I guess the one I go to now in South Orange County is Comic Quest, and they're in Mission Viejo, or it's Lake Forest actually. Mission Viejo, Lake Forest, Comic Quest. You can find it in South Orange County.
Nice. Support your local comic book store.
Damn right you should. Right.
Yes.
All right, guys, we got a couple of quick news stories. We're going to get out of here. Oh, shoot. Try this one.
From ABC News World Headquarters, this is ABC World News Tonight.
No, it's not. It's Star Wars news with the Wretched Hive.
So be it.
Nothing but the highest quality production value on this show.
Yeah, right?
Wow.
Get your act together, Baldwin. Oh, Jesus God. Christ.
Making StarWars.net reporting, Kylo Ren in Episode 8, I thought this was so cool, is going to be wearing one of the Darth Vader capes from The Empire Strikes Back. How cool is that? They're actually reusing one of the capes.
Do you think they'll bring it up in this, like in the movie, that he's wearing one of Darth Vader's capes, or is it just going to be like, if you know, you know, that's what he's wearing?
Yeah, yeah. Is it a rehash just for his own costume, or is it actually going to be like, hey, look, not only do I have my grandfather's skull in a pot of ashes, but hey, I got his cape too.
Is it like his whoopee? Is he going to be sitting there and holding it and sucking his thumb?
I just killed my daddy.
It's like emo Kylo Ren on Twitter that just idolizes Darth Vader.
What if Hitler's kid had a collection fetish? That's what Kylo Ren is turning into.
Oh, my. According to very good sources, unnamed, which I always love.
Yeah, that's how good they are.
That's right. Kylo Ren is wearing a Darth Vader cape in Star Wars Episode 8. The cape is said to be... The cape is said to be like the one Darth Vader wears in The Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. Mm. However, the cape does not have the same chain clasp.
I was going to ask if that's what made it alike.
Mm-hmm.
Damn you, fact checkers.
All right. Well, not the one. It's like the one.
Yeah, okay.
That's still a good story, though.
Does anybody think Vader...
I'm still going with the Whoopi. I'm going with the Whoopi.
Does anybody think Vader would just look at Kylo Ren and call him a total poser?
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt about that.
Good God, what's wrong with you, man?
Get a life and stop collecting my stuff. this article, because I know we love the movie business, and we love talking about the movie business, and this one caught my eye. Jumanji. Who didn't see the original Jumanji? Come on, that's like one of the greatest movies
ever. I'm looking at you, Nico.
I've seen it a bajillion times.
Yeah, that was on heavy rotation in our household when he was just a young millennial.
Well, Robin Williams is one of my favorite actors.
Yeah,
nice.
Well,
spoiler alert: he's dead.
Oh, come
what?
On. Why?
Damn you, Greg.
Well, Jumanji is being rebooted. There's a reboot of Jumanji coming in 2017, and anyone dare to guess the actor that's starring in the Jumanji reboot?
If I already know, can I still guess?
No.
Okay.
do you...
Scotty McDonald.
Nice.
Well, yeah, I'll pass. I kind of spoiled it.
I'm pretty sure I know who it is, so I'm not going to guess.
Well, throw it out there if you don't. Nico, you want to take a stab at this?
No, spoil it for me.
All right, Dave.
When you think. Robin Williams, what is the first modern actor that comes to your mind?
Right.
And it's not that person.
It totally is.
When I think Robin Williams, I think Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
You would be correct.
Of course you do.
Dwayne Johnson
is the opposite of Robin Williams.
Is.
Oh, that's right.
Don't you remember when Robin Williams was a wrestler? It was amazing. He dressed up like this alien from another planet. Oh, it was amazing. Good stuff.
I remember when he caught that football pass and everybody thought he was... No, never mind. Wrong movie.
Dwayne Johnson is starring in Dead Poets Society 2, Kill 'Em All.
He's, God.
He's starring in Dead Again, Still Dead.
Now, you might be asking yourself.
Mrs. Doubtfire 2, do you smell that my tits are cooking?
Insomnia 2, why the hell am I still up in Alaska?
Oh, my God.
Come on.
And Popeye 2, The Quest for More Olive Oil.
Oh, I'm all over that.
Don't forget the world according to Garp 2. She really did bite it off. I don't know.
I knew you were going to go there.
So you might be wondering, this is a Star Wars podcast, why are we talking about Jumanji? Well, the answer is that they pushed the start date of Jumanji back from the summer 2017 to Christmas 2017. And there's another little movie that's coming out around Christmas 2017. Yep, that would be Star Wars Episode 8. So it's been kind of fun to read the comments on Variety.com. Calling all these movie executives morons for putting Jumanji up against Star Wars Episode 8. So my question to you is, which movie makes more money?
Star Wars.
There you go.
Yeah.
You would be correct.
Yeah, you know.
Stop giving me choices, Steve Baldwin.
Yeah.
Stop giving me choices.
Hey. I will give some love to The Rock, because that guy has turned into a pretty bankable movie star. I think I imagine him kind of like Steven Seagal in the 90s. You can throw him in a movie and it'll make its budget back plus, you know, maybe 10%, you know? Yeah. Something that will just never lose money. So good on that guy for finding a good career and just being a very likable dude, because he is super, super likable on his Twitter feeds and all that other bullshit that's out there.
It seems like a really nice guy.
Well,
wasn't it a rule for a while that Steven Seagal movies had to have a 3-word title and that was it? You know,
yeah,
Hard to Kill,
Dressed to
stuff
kill.
Like that. Yeah,
Ponytail, yeah.
Under Siege. It's only 2 words, but still.
That was the one that broke the rule.
Just because you pulled that up, Greg, I am going to look up opening weekend box office numbers for The Rock.
Mm. That being said, this movie is going to get demolished if it opens the same weekend as Rogue as Star Wars Episode 8. They're giving up on that movie if they're putting it up against Episode 8.
Okay, so my question is this. I'm sorry, Steve. You said it's 2017 or 2016?
Christmas 2017 is
okay, so in Episode 8 comes out roughly around the same time as the other two, right? Rogue One and Episode 7?
Yeah, like the week before.
Yeah,
16th, 17th.
I have the dates here. So Rogue One, December 16th, 2016, 35 days from today. Record the show.
No, not Rogue One. Star Wars Episode 8.
So Episode 8, December 15th, 2017.
Okay, so 10 days before. You're talking about a percentage drop. Oh, man, a week. You know what? I still think Star Wars slaughters them. Look, I like The Rock. He's a great guy. He's super nice. He does some great stuff. But, you know, again, you're talking about Star Wars on the holiday. No.
Star Wars is going to kill everything. Come on.
Yeah, it's good. You know, what they put up a Tina Fey and Amy Poehler movie up against The Force Awakens, and even they joked about how nobody on Earth was going to see their movie.
And they still did really good, right?
I don't think so.
Okay, never mind. Take that back. Two funny people. Oh, well.
Yeah, very entertaining.
Was that movie entertaining? I did not see it.
I did not see it either.
Okay. I didn't either.
There you go.
I guess they're not that funny.
Would you rather see the Tina Fey movie or a new Star Wars movie? Oh. There you go. I just had to throw that. I had the music queued up. I had to use it.
I want a better choices. I want the Tina Fey, Amy Poehler movie up against The Rock remake of Jumanji.
Ooh.
What would you rather have?
If The Rock was in Star Wars, what role could he potentially play?
Admiral Akbar.
The young Princess Leia.
recast as Dwayne Johnson. That's funny. So just throughout the, I realized that we hadn't run down the dates in a while. I wrote these, put these in the show notes. So we've got Rogue One coming out December 16th this year. Episode 8, December 15th of 2017. We've got
Scott's got a visual in his head.
Dude, I do. I'm sorry, Steve. I swear to God, Greg, all I can think of is, can you smell what the trap is cooking? That's all I'm thinking right now. And with a rubber mask of a calamari on his head. Sorry, I didn't go with the Leia analogy. I think he actually used buns on the side of his head at one point.
We've got the young Han Solo movie. Getting back to business. May 25th, 2018. So that's, right now, that's scheduled 5 months after the release of Episode 8 is the
young Han Solo movie. Wait,
what? Yeah. Going back to May.
Yeah, they've pushed back every single movie. What do you think? Do you think the odds are pretty good that they're pushing back the Han Solo in Episode 9 to fit this December time frame too?
Yeah, I got $20 right now. You know what? Let's just do that.
You know what? No, wait. I'm calling it, Scott, not you. I'm calling this one, okay?
Damn it!
Me.
All right, so what's your bet? You think they're going to push back from May 25th, 2018 to Christmas 2018 for Han Solo, for the Han Solo movie?
I'm calling on Han Solo and on Episode 9. I would say they're going to push both. They're going to make December the month of Star Wars.
That's right, yeah. Because we've got Episode 9 on May 23rd, 2019 right now. You're right.
I think they wait to see how Rogue One does. No one's going to expect it to duplicate Force Awakens, but how close does it get? Is it a $400 million movie? Maybe they don't move it. If it's a $600 or $650 million movie, then I say, yeah, you make December Star Wars month for the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Because Disney is already, they've already set a global box office record for most receipts taken in by a studio, and they haven't even released Rogue One yet. Hmm. How ridiculous is that?
Yeah, and the summer movies for Disney, excuse me, the summer movies are kind of tied up with Marvel movies. So why would they want to push around the schedule on the Marvel movies when they can just – they don't really release – I mean, Doctor Strange came out here in November, but that's a month and a half before Rogue One.
Good point. You know what? I want to take that back. My bet – I'm going to change my bet. I think Disney and Star Wars, they're going to be a little nervous at 2019 because I hear The Rock is going to be doing the sequel to Jumanji. He's going to be in Zathura. I'm all over that. I'm lining up right now for it.
Nice. Well, and don't forget the last movie that's on the slate right now, Boba Fett standalone film, at least according to cinemablend.com, slated for some date in 2020. Nothing firm yet, but that's the rumor.
What is that, Marvel movies, Phase 4?
I think that's where we're approaching, yeah.
Yeah, 2019 is the last of the Phase 3 movies.
That's still Inhumans?
They've canceled Inhumans as a movie, at least for Phase 3.
Damn it!
You can blame your favorite show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., for that is what you can do.
All that time I've invested in that show, and now it's just gone. Really? Seriously?
Can we back up? Can you explain what Phase 2, Phase 3 is?
Yeah, so the Marvel movies, they you have to plan them out, you know, long in advance so you can set things up.
Right.
So they have these ideas of clusters of movies of what they're going to do, and they call each cluster a phase. So the Phase 1 movies were basically the original Iron Man through Avengers. That was Phase 1. And then Phase 2 was Iron Man 3 through Ant-Man. That was all that cluster of movies. And now we just started up with the Phase 3 grouping of Marvel movies. That started with Captain America Civil War. And that's slated to run through Inhumans as the last of three movies to be released in 2019, but I keep hearing that they're not real happy with what's going on with that project, so they're either canceling it altogether or shifting it into what will be the Phase 4 slate of movies in 2020, which they have an idea of what they're doing, but they haven't announced yet. But Phase 3 coming up, you're going to have next year Guardians of the Galaxy, Spider-Man Homecoming, and crap, I'm blanking on the third movie right now.
Thor Ragnarok.
Thor Ragnarok. Then after that, you'll have a Black Panther movie. You'll have a Captain Marvel movie. You'll have the Avengers Infinity War Part 1. Mm. And then a couple other things beyond that. And Avengers Infinity War Part 2.
Yes.
Got it.
Ant-Man and Wasp is in there somewhere, too.
Yes, Ant-Man and Wasp will be in there. Yes, thank you, Greg Lent.
That's right. I did hear that Inhumans got swapped out for Ant-Man and Wasp. And thank you.
Thank you, Torgo.
Yeah, Phase 1, Steve, was Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, the first Avenger, and the Avengers film, the first one. Phase 2 was Iron Man
3,
Thor, The Dark World, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers, Age of Ultron, and Ant-Man. And then all the ones that you just mentioned, Dave, for Phase 3. So you can follow them in that order.
Cool.
You know, the days when you would sit down and watch all the original trilogy movies all day long were really good days. And then you had to start working in your Star Wars marathon as being 6 movies, and that got a little longer. And then you tried to do a Lord of the Rings marathon of the extended versions, and that was like a chore to sit through. Can you imagine attempting a Marvel marathon like that?
This is where our podcast is going to get completely awesome. Yes.
Because we're not awesome right now.
We were awesome. Now we're completely awesome. Because, yes, I do totally get what you're saying, Greg. I've done that so many times. But, oh, my God, the first time I'll never forget, I had a bowl of Doritos sitting in front of me watching Lord of the Rings, and I swear to God, I reached over and had to grab the eye drops at some point, the second movie, and just pour them. Because, no, not only was I doing the trilogy, I was doing the extended edition. So that's like 12 hours.
Yeah, of Lord of the Rings, yeah.
And now
I've been there.
Marvel.
That's awesome. Stop. That is awesome. That's 12 hours well spent, too. That's fun.
I guess you gotta throw Harry Potter in. Harry Potter, you have to do as a marathon as well.
Oh, you know that first Harry Potter movie is rough to sit through.
The first one, really?
Yeah. Think so?
Yeah.
If you go back and watch it, my memory is that it was a fun movie, really well. I loved the book, huge fan of the books, and boy, when you go back to watch it now, though, oh man, it is slow.
You know, maybe I just go back and I look at it and I go, they're all so little. It's like looking at your kid's baby pictures, you know.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yep.
I still like them. But I'm also a movie nerd, and in that sense, I look back at the first two films from Harry Potter, and Chris Columbus was the director on those two and really set up what I always call a static world. It wasn't until the third Harry Potter film where things really took off. Like, the camera movements and the camera positions got a little bit more adventurous. The story got a little darker. Obviously, if you've read the books, you know. But, I don't know, something about the Chris Columbus films, the first two, it's like he just put everything on a tripod and said, run by the camera. That kind of bugged me a little bit. I still love the films, but I don't think it bugs me the same way it does you, Steve.
Well, the books are so charming. I love those books. They were so fresh and new. I've read the series twice, and I think I've read the first couple of books more than twice, because they're so quick and they're just so charming and wonderful. But that first movie, it's just painfully slow. That's all. It's just rough to sit through. The rest of the film series is fantastic. I'm a huge fan, but just that first one, a little bit slow. It's meant for kids. It's a kids movie, I think.
Well, Steve, have you picked up the Harry Potter and the Cursed Child play yet?
My daughter bought it for my daughter, and I need to steal it from her and read it. But we do have it in the house. I just haven't read it yet.
Yes, you do. It's well worth it.
Okay. Great. check it out. Guys, we have one final story. And
Chewbacca Mom?
Actually, you called it.
Way to bury the lead there. Jesus Christ, Dave.
This is thefrisky.com. Chewbacca Mom. Everyone sitting down? That sounds like Scott just fell down.
That was Scott's head hitting the desk.
Chewbacca Mom is back in the news. Chewbacca Mom is charging for autographs.
Oh my God.
I've been waiting for this for 2 weeks, by the way. I'm so excited to read this story to Scott. Okay,
the Scott, guess what we have for you?
The
you guys like fire. It's gonna happen.
The entire title of this story is Chewbacca Mom is charging for autographs now because we live in an unfair, cruel world. This is at thefrisky.com. I'm not sure what's worse, the article begins. The fact that Candace Payne, a.k.a. Chewbacca Mom, is now charging for photos and autographs, or the fact that people are actually forking over the $20
what?
For her signature. Yep, that's right. $20. She's going to cons. And this story tells about the Fan Expo in Dallas, Texas, where Chewbacca Mom's booth was situated right next to Jack Gleason's. And Gleason is the actor that plays King Joffrey on Game of Thrones. So they can get King Joffrey's autograph and Chewbacca Mom right next door.
Is he just sitting there going, WTF? Why are you putting me next to this psycho? Seriously. And, I'm sorry, is Cole's not paying her enough?
Yeah. Well, this article also references the fact, I think it was this article, that she's getting free tuition. She and her family are getting free tuition to a university near them. And I don't recall which one it is right now. Oh, here. Let's see. She's got a scholarship.
She got high and put a Chewbacca mask on in a car in a parking lot and laughed like a complete idiot. And there are actual people out there that need to go to college. And what is happening? Oh my God! I have to bite my tongue right now.
Steve, does she personalize the autographs? Like, could I send her $30 and she would make it out to the person that I chose?
I know where you're going with this, and I am in.
I'm guessing Greg's in too.
Now, just for the icing on the cake, Scott, I thought you would love this.
Sons of bitches.
John Oliver. Definitely fans of John Oliver on this show. John Oliver actually referenced Chewbacca Mom in a recent episode of his show. Check this out.
It was pretty much solved, which is absolutely absurd, because racism is not one of those things that just disappears on its own in due time. It's not like chickenpox or Chewbacca Mom. And I know I have just restarted the clock on that one, and I am genuinely sorry.
So I had to throw that in there. Chewbacca Mom back in the news. Just for you, God, Scott Ivinsky.
So just to really wind Scott up and just push him right over the edge. It says in this article how she's earned in total in stuff since the video went viral. Take a guess how much it is.
No, it's not one, Scott.
Wild guess.
I'm going to guess $35,000.
$35 is the guess from Mr. Potter there.
$35,000?
$35,000 before taxes.
God, I hate to say. Can I guess? I hate guessing on this stupid game, but I'm going to say it's upwards of $60,000.
Hold 60, on. 1,001.
Hold on to your butts. Hold on to your butts. The total, according to that article Steve is referencing, is $420,000 in stuff. Wow.
She's made a $500,000.
That is both showcases, my friend.
$3,000 Oh, go ahead, Scott.
No, it's legal to get high in California now. I'm going to smoke everything I can get, and I'm going to laugh like a damn fool with a stupid Chewbacca mask. And if I don't get $400,000 in 1 year, I'm going to be pissed.
Well, check this
now,
out.
Now, it's stuff like Steve mentioned, like she's getting tuition to a college for her family. So that's, you know, okay.
$80,000.
Yeah, it's not a cash check. She got an all expense paid vacation to Disney World, you know. But yeah, you total it all up, 420 grr.
Yeah, but okay. this isn't just a college scholarship. This is a scholarship provided to her and her whole family to Southeastern University. $400,000 just for that. Plus, she's got couple grand from Fan Expo Dallas, VIP treatment, Walt Disney World vacation for the family, $7,500. Travel talk show gifts, $7,500. Gifts from Kohl's, $3,000. So yeah, I'd say she's doing pretty well.
So tell me again why she's charging for her photos.
Because she's not getting cash, remember?
She's Chewbacca mom.
Because she's smoking
What's
hot.
What's wrong with you?
Man, you guys are killing me.
Because she can. That's probably why.
Because she hates you and she listens to the Hive.
You know, the only comfort I can possibly give you right now is that someday in the future, when this podcast is really broken out and you're charging to autograph your picture at Star Wars Celebration, she is going to be like, who the hell is Scott Ivanski and why does he get $25 for an autographed picture?
If I can get an audio recording of her saying that, then I will be one happy podcaster.
We'll put that in the show intro for sure.
You know what? If you guys decide to get an autographed picture of Chewbacca Mom, I will proudly hang that next to my autographed picture of Vanilla Ice. And that
it's the very lonely Luke of the week.
Red 5 standing by.
Because if there's something to whine about, you can count on Luke.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Even though he's now an old man.
No!
It just isn't fair.
Sorry about that, Scott. Didn't mean to cut you off, my man. Jeez, I'm like, enough about Chewbacca Mom already. Craig, what do you got for us this week?
We have really, really wound that poor boy up. We're going to have to cool it off just a little bit for him. So, from November the 5th, from Very Lonely Luke, he says, Yoda used to brag about his awesome lightsaber. After he died, I found it in a trunk. That thing was tiny. I used it to slice bread.
I'm enjoying that one.
Was that November 5th, 1955?
You know, it reminds me of that movie, which not a lot of people liked, but I did. They did a movie adaptation with Zooey Deschanel and Sam Rockwell of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and she uses a lightsaber-like device to slice bread. And the best thing about it, it makes toast at the same time.
Of course it does.
I love that. I need a little lightsaber that makes toast.
It's Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Can we get on that? Can we get somebody to make that? Because I'm all over that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
You had me at Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah, seriously on that.
I'm good with that.
Have you guys not seen that the Hitchhiker's movie that came out? It was about 10 years ago, probably.
No. I didn't see it.
I have not. That book occupies a very sacred space for me, and I'm not prepared to see a movie about it yet.
And that's the problem, is it takes a few liberties that people were not happy with at all. But on its face, it's a decent movie. It's enjoyable. I liked it. I go back and I watch it every now and then.
And
it's got a great cast, too. Zooey Deschanel, Sam Rockwell, Alan Rickman is Marvin the Robot. Most Death is in it. Yeah, Most Death is in it. Yeah, it's who's the Slarty Bartfest is the guy who was the guy who was
Bilbo Baggins, right?
No, it was the guy who was Davy Jones in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. He was the old singer in Love Actually, Steve, that you like so much.
Yeah, Bill Nye.
Yeah, yeah.
Bill Nye. Yeah, there Bill you Nye. Go. Bill exactly. Nye.
Yep. Who was? But all our fans and friends that know this book are going to kill me right now, but I can't think of the character. But the Freeman, right?
Martin Freeman is the main character. Yeah,
right.
He was the Hobbit. Yeah, you're right.
Arthur
Dent.
Thank you,
Arthur Dent. Arthur Dent.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. So just a fantastic cast, and the movie, and yeah, you know, like I say, it's not the book, so don't go in and say they're gonna, you know. But I think it does it. I think it does it a decent job of putting it on the screen. Not a great, a decent.
Great book, and I'll have to give it a chance. So,
you heard it here first. Go check out that movie.
The 10-year-old film.
10-year-old.
Get out there and see that.
Hey, it's got a fleeting Star Wars reference in it. Okay, so it fits into the show.
Hey, spoiler alert! Some people haven't seen it yet.
Damn it.
Well, I'm gonna lose some geek cred here, but I have not even read the book.
What?
Woo!
Whoa! No.
Whoa!
No.
Right.
Steve, hang on. That is one for you to take on your next Best Week Ever to read. I'm calling that shot for you right now.
Dude, so you don't know the meaning of life?
Yes, I do. Because I am familiar with pop culture, so I do know what the meaning of life is, but I have not read the book, and I've heard so many wonderful things about it, so I need to get to that. That's on my list. For sure.
Yeah. It will change your life.
Well, if you would like to tell us how to change our lives, like stop doing this podcast, you can call us at 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE, H-I-V-E. Very, very good chance. I'd say about 100% chance your voicemail will be used as part of our show, get played on the air.
For the love of the Empire, please call us.
Give us a buzz.
If you can do impressions, call too, because, you know, we love when you do impressions on the
yes. podcast. Is the Dark Lord of the Sith, Darth Vader, going to call us again anytime soon? Because I enjoyed his last call, actually.
I can get him on the phone, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Bring him up. Get him on the holopad or whatever.
Holocron? Holocron? Holodeck.
Oh, God, I don't know. It's getting late. You can also look us up on Facebook, facebook.com/ Wretched Hive Podcast. You can call us on the HoloNet. That was it, the HoloNet.
There we go.
At WretchedHive@DeathStar.com. You can tweet to us at WretchHivePod. Maybe the best way to find us is through iTunes. Go on iTunes, podcast section, search for the Wretched Hive, and we are the first ones to come up in your feed. Subscribe to the show. Leave a review. 5 stars, 1 star. We don't care any stars. Just leave a review. Any last words, guys?
Stop barking, you damn dogs.
42.
Guys, have a great couple of weeks. And until then, may the Force be with us all.
Hey, real quick, real talk. Did we really vote for Trump for president?
That actually happened.
We made it through the entire show.
I was totally going to say something about the election, and you went with it. I love it.